Reading to you from the 16th chapter of Luke, and with the 14th verse. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. Energy normal, converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. What dear little God called me to preach? I suppose you, dear friends, have been watching television, found out that we have from a foot to 2 foot of snow here in our state. And we have had 3 feet out here in our driveway. We were snowed in, but thank God we had some vegetables and some milk and stuff laid up, so I had no problem eating. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers? Maybe you got a troubled heart tonight. Maybe things aren't going right. Won't you listen just for a while? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke, and let's begin reading with the 19th verse. It's a very familiar subject, but you'll be surprised at Christians that stay away from this subject. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham afar away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted, and here you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let them warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." We've labeled this, "Who cares if a sinner goes to hell?" You say, what a terrible title for a message. Well, it's sure a good one. Who really does care? This is a fearful and often forgotten text. Fearful because of the subject. Hell, no one wants to hear about hell. No one wants to go to hell. But I'll guarantee you one thing, when I was an alcoholic, I feared both death and hell, because I knew I was going to have to experience both of them. Fearful because of the speaker, who was Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgotten because most have chosen more pleasant texts. Now, our aim as preachers now is to make people feel better and successful, and we pat you on the back and we tell you you're doing such a good job. But, beloved, God looks on the heart. Not in what I say about you, what God says about you. And as you probably know, there's few sermons have to do with saving souls from hell. Isn't this funny? Here's a man in hell, and yet he wants to see his five brothers saved. Oh, my stars, if people only knew how terrible hell is. Who cares if a sinner goes to hell? Well, God the Father cares. I wonder, does your church care? I wonder, do you care? Beloved, I want you to know there's a lot of professing Christians that do not believe in hell. Oh, no, they say it's a figment of some crazy man's imagination. Well, then you're calling Jesus crazy because he told the story. Now, listen to this. The Father cares and sent his Son. John 3:16, my most favorite scripture in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Dear friends, you realize that God had to give something for your salvation. He had to give his only begotten, beloved Son of God. Now, Bethlehem's stable cries, the Father cares. Calvary's cross cries, the Father cares. Long wait for Christ's return cries, the Father cares. Now, the one who cares for the falling sparrow cares about keeping souls out of hell. You've heard me say this many, many times. I've had people say, I cannot love a God that would send a man to hell. Oh, precious friend, listen. God does not send people to hell. You are the one that tells God where you want to go. He said, well, what do you mean? I don't remember ever telling him. Well, with your mouth, confession is made into salvation. Now, if you don't want to go to heaven, you just turn the radio off. Go about your business. Just keep living your life. But, oh, friends, when you stand before Jesus, the Bible said, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is the Christ. Well, listen. Jesus, the Son, cares. To seek and to save that which is lost, we find in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, did you know he's looking for you? Do you know what he's doing? He's a-tugging at your old heart. Oh, friends, listen. He's standing tonight with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. You and I know how bad things are in America today and around the world, of course. And did you know what they're trying to do in Washington? They're trying to get Jesus out of the country. Well, they've been trying that for a long time. No prayer in school. Now the president says that we won't have a day of prayer. He'll pray out of his Muslim book and his... Oh, I'm telling you, friends, we got some problems. But we who know Christ can pray. God will hear our prayers, but we got to stick together. We've got to keep praying and keep believing. See, Jesus is reaching out to sinners, and you know he cares. You know, years and years ago, when I was associate pastor of a church in Bellingham, Washington, on Saturday, the men would have a breakfast in somebody's house. It might be my house or my, but this particular Saturday, it was at my house. And we had about 25, 30 men there. And we had a speaker, and he shared his faith in Christ. And then, after the service, a man who I'd never met before in my life walked up to me and said, Preacher, could I have some time with you alone? Well, I said, sure. So we went upstairs in front of the fireplace in the living room, and he began to weep. He told me that he had the same problem that I used to have. He said, I understand, Cecil, you were an alcoholic. I said, sure was. And he said, what happened to you? I said, well, if you'll sit down here, son, I'll tell you the whole story. And I sat there and I told Harold about Jesus, and I don't know how long I talked to him, but I do know then. I said, Harold, if this Jesus did that for me, you know, he could do that for you. And right there in my living room, old Harold knelt with me, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Oh, my friends, he lived about 6 years, 7 years. He'd been in and out of jail. He was a bad one. But, oh, what a sweet man he turned out to be. How Christ changed his life. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new." And that's what happened to Harold. I had the privilege. Now, this is wild. I was now in North Dakota, the director of the rescue mission there, and I received a call from Alice Hayes, that was Harold's wife, and said, "Cecil, Harold passed away last night, and our church wants you to come out and preach his funeral." So I flew out, and Alice and this other lady drove down to Seattle and picked me up. Now, friends, I preached that day because most of his family were Jehovah Witnesses, and you know the Jehovah Witnesses don't know the gospel. They don't salute the American flag and a lot of other things, but they don't preach the gospel. Anyway, when the funeral was over and was getting ready to go out to the cemetery, they wouldn't put Harold the people in charge of the funeral came and said, "Cecil, I've never seen anything like this before, but they've asked you to come back and preach another sermon." And I did. I went back and I said, "I'm so glad I've been able to stand before you." I said to Harold, "You loved Harold. He was your brother, your cousin, your husband, your family. If you want to see Harold, you're going to have to do what he did and what I did, get on our knees and ask Jesus to forgive us." Well, the Bible said this man received sinners, and I read in Luke 15:2, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Oh my, isn't that something? Ah, that's the Jesus I love and serve. He absolutely will eat with anyone. He'll fellowship with anyone who will believe on him and trust him. And he'd like to do that for you tonight if you're not saved. You might not have ever went to church in your life. Maybe you never went to Sunday school. But he's saying, "Come on in, son. Come on in, daughter. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you how much I love you. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you when your life is over. I've got a mansion for you. You'll never, never need again. You'll never have another heart attack. You'll never have any more disappointments." And God said, "I'll wipe away your tears and be your God." Well, the Bible speaks about Luke 23, two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One respected Jesus, the other accepted. One rejected, I should say, instead of respected. Rejected Jesus, and the other accepted Jesus. And Jesus promised him that he would be with him in paradise. Let me ask you, has he told you that you'd be with him in paradise tonight? If not, won't you trust him tonight? Won't you come to him and say, "Lord, I realize I'm a sinner"? Because you see, the Bible said we've all sinned, Romans 3:23. Now you know you've sinned. I never had problem knowing I was a sinner. Ever, ever, ever. Well, listen. Now we see him sending his disciples into the world in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to him and said, "All authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Beloved, if you're a Christian tonight, and listen to me very carefully, if you're a Christian tonight and you've never witnessed, or no, you've never tried to introduce a soul to Christ, or you've never introduced or tried to bring someone to your church, you are not a very good Christian. I'm going to lay it straight. No, you're not. He said that we are to go and tell everybody, every nation. He's given us the authority to introduce people to Christ. I hope and pray that tonight you'll say, "You know, Lord, I really, really want to do that. And you know what? He'll give you the power to do it. He certainly will. Now we're reading the book, second chapter, Acts. The Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Oh, my friends, what a day that was. Whew. What an enlightenment. Well, now he had disciples, but he had to have a preacher on that day. And guess who he chose? Apostle Peter. Well, Peter had cursed out there at the fire, and he denied the Lord, and he was just a little stinker. But you know what? Jesus knew his heart, and he knew he loved the Lord, and he really wanted to do right. And so he called him to preach. Well, that day, 3,000 were saved. Another day, 5,000 were saved. You see what the Holy Spirit does? Empowers believers to witness. Hey, I'm a basic coward. Yes, I am. But I've led lots and lots of people to Christ. But only because I have been filled and empowered by the Spirit of the living God. I can't do it on my own. Because you don't. See, if you do it on your own, you're doing it in the flesh. And you will not reach people if you're doing it in the flesh. Well, he still speaks through Christians to reach lost ones. Well, you know, one time my wife and I, we were in a restaurant here in Colorado, and this young lady came, very good waitress. Boy, she knew her business, very polite, well, just a neat little gal. And I said to her, I said, young lady, has anyone ever sat down and told you about Jesus? And she looked at me like I'd slapped her in the face. She said, well, no. I said, you know, no Christians ever talked to you about your soul. No, they haven't. I said, well, can I tell you how I met Jesus? And I can give my testimony in 1 minute or 2 minutes if I have to. And she said, isn't that wonderful? I said, looky here, God not only delivered me alcoholism, but he gave me back my business, gave me back my family, my children, my wife. She said, oh, okay, and she went away again. Pretty soon she came back, and I'm telling you, friends, I've told this before, but it's worth telling again. Only the Spirit of God could direct me to do what I did. I reached her, and I took her by the hand, and I said, young lady, would you like to give your heart to Christ today, right now? She said, I would. And right there in that big old restaurant, she bowed her head with me and prayed and gave her heart to Christ. My wife and I took her a Bible back, and we'd visit her, oh, I bet two or three times a week. Now she's back east, and I pray for her every day. Her name is Amanda. Sweet little girl, but I keep praying that God will call her into the mission field. Well, I was on an airplane flying to Seattle one time to do a TV program, and I prayed the night before that God would give me a soul to witness to on that plane. And sure enough, there she was sitting by the window, and I was sitting by the aisle. There's three seats abroad. And I didn't know how to start the conversation, so I had a newspaper. So I said, ma'am, would you like a part of my papers? Well, thank you. And when my food came, I bowed my head and asked a blessing. And then she turned and asked me if I was one of them born-again Christians. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, well, my sister is and my brother-in-law. But she said, I'm not. I witnessed all the way from Denver to just as we got ready to land in Seattle. And I said, you know, the most dangerous part of flying? She said, no. I said, when you take off and land. Oh, she said, don't talk that way. I said, well, we could crash. I said, I'm not worried because I know where I'm going when I die. And she said, well, I don't. And again, I asked her if she would like to put her trust in Jesus. That day she did. And then when we parted, she went to Alaska and I went on to Seattle. She came over and she hugged me and she said, thank you for telling me about Jesus. If I don't see you now again, I'll see you in heaven. Oh, friends, that's the greatest joy. God wants every Christian. Pray for holy boldness. Pray that God will put people in your way that you can lead them to Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit, he brings convictions to sinners too. You're not just doing it on your side and revealing Christ to the repentant heart. regenerating those who will trust in Christ. I read in Titus 3:5, He saved us not because of righteousness, things we have done, but because of His mercy. Well, listen, friends. The Bible said there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, Luke 15:10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Oh, listen, the cry of the rich man in hell, send Lazarus that he might come dip his finger in water. 5 minutes in hell will make us all concerned for souls. Friends, listen, do you really care whether souls go to hell? Well, if you do, then I'm proud of you. Those who care are quick to share the gospel. And those who care pray and witness to bring sinners to Jesus. Friend, listen to me. I want to ask you. You say, well, Caesar, I'm not a Christian yet. But you have a tugging at your heart because the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost. And you're on the broadcast tonight, so you know. God put you here so you could hear this. Maybe, my friend, this will be the very last time that God will ever speak to your heart. Maybe you'll never hear another message about Jesus. Tonight I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, come to Jesus. Come to Him tonight. And if you got a tugging at your heart, you better come to Him. Don't turn Him away, because if you do, it might be the last time you'll ever do that. Oh, friend, your heart gets harder every time you say no to Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, He's standing out with that stretched arm right now, saying, son, daughter, come to me. I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life. I want to forgive your sins and write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. If you'd like to pray that prayer, bow your head with me right now. It's a powerful prayer, but don't pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Precious Lord, I confess tonight that I am a sinner. And oh God, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you and my family and my loved ones. And I'm tired of this wayward life. I want peace. So now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned, my friend, where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Lord, when I
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I trust and pray that you listen to this message tonight. It's so important that the Christians get busy. We're living in the last days. We don't know if the return of the Lord might be tomorrow, next week. We don't know. No one knows but the Father. So I'm urging you, let's get busy. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me and my wife. Pray that we'll be a blessing in prison and in the rescue missions. No, I don't get to preach at big revivals anymore because I'm going to slow down. But my heart's there. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.